On the Record with Furniture Today, a podcast that goes behind the headlines to look at the news and the newsmakers, the people and the personalities that give the furniture industry its unique flavor. I'm your host, Bill McLaughlin, Editor-in-Chief of Furniture Today.
Hi, I'm Tricia Yearwood, and you're tuned to Furniture Today's On the Record podcast with Bill McLaughlin. Before we turn to Bill and his guests, I just want to give a shout out to the entire Furniture Today team and remind you that when there's something exciting to announce, you'll read about it first in Furniture Today. And now, here's Bill McLaughlin and On the Record.
Hi, I'm Tom Russell with Furniture Today. I am sitting in for Furniture Today Editor-in-Chief Bill McLaughlin to present to you this week's edition of On the Record, a weekly podcast that looks at the issues and newsmakers in the furniture industry. In this week's edition, we have a distinguished panel of guests that will be talking about the opportunities in home office furniture and some other crossover categories in the wood segment. Our guests today are Jeremy Hoff, president of Hooker Furniture Legacy Brands, John Isiello, Senior Vice President of Strategic Planning and Business Development at Riverside Furniture, Jeff Harris, President and CEO of Furnitureland South, and Kyle Johansson, Executive Director of Merchandising at Home Furniture. Welcome to our guests, and thank you for listening.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I think actually we had a story in this past week's edition on the subject of the opportunities in home office furniture. And we also talked a little bit about casual dining. And I believe all of you were quoted in that story. Thank you also for your insights for that. So this is kind of a follow-up discussion for our audience. Talk about, you know, we've seen and read and heard a lot about, as people have been working from home in this COVID-19 environment, people still are after probably about 2.5-3 months. It seems like it's caused people to kind of take a look around and see where they're working in their home, what the needs are, where the gaps are in their home furnishings environment. And home office furniture seems to have been at the top of the list. If I'd like to start off asking John and Jeremy what they've seen in terms of business the company has seen in the category in the past couple of months. And also during this webinar, anyone who would like to ask a question, there's an opportunity to pop questions at the bottom of your screen. You'll see a prompt thing there. So feel free to ask questions. We'll try to go through those throughout. But how has business been in the category? John, we'll start off with you.
Yeah, I mean, year to date, obviously with COVID-19, we've seen a major impact. But the one area that's up year to date is home office. It's up double digit, and both in e-commerce and brick and mortar. But a lot of that, and we see the whole total penetration of the home office category. We've always been a player in the home office. We try to be the best mid-priced line in America. We strive to be. But we think our penetration of home office to total company business is actually increased to about 18% of our total company volume. So it's become a very significant part of our business. And we're real happy that obviously in these times we're in right now that we've seen a double-digit increase in the category.
And did you say that was year to date or?
That's year to date. In the last 2 months, we're up about 45-47%. But year to date, we're up double digit.
Yeah, that's significant. That's significant. Jeremy, what have you all been seeing at Hooker Furniture?
We've been noticing an increase in home office for the past year, actually. And with the onset of COVID-19, we think that's going to be more dramatic, you know, because of places retail closing down. You know, we haven't realized that yet, but all indicators, our feedback is that's where it's going. You know, we're very focused on the category, and we're actually somewhat reinventing the category for Hooker for this fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talked a little bit about that in the article. So we're looking, it sounds like you've got some multiple styles, but with basically the same SKUs, same price points, so there's some consistency across the line. Is there anything else you could say about that at this point?
Well, Hooker has a lot of executive home offices that have been in the line for a good period of time, and they've stayed there, you know, staples for us and good sellers. But as that's happened, the market has changed, finishes have changed. You know, a lot of the silhouettes may be a little bit smaller, the dimensional requirements for the marketplace have changed. So we're looking at everything to do with our home office category and saying, what is today and what's it need to be today? And we're revamping that. And then we've had some help from partners. We've been to see Jeff's team and some others out there that have helped us understand what's really going on with the consumer. Mm-hmm. We couldn't be more excited about the category and what our opportunities are in it.
Well, we look forward to seeing that because I know you guys are definitely a style leader. And so I think anything that you do will certainly be noticed in the category.
Thank you.
And I would say the same too of Riverside. I mean, both companies have within their respective style or price points, some real style leadership, just and a real versatility of pieces in the category. I've been kind of covering both companies for many years now. And is there anything in particular, and I know you all kind of talked about this in the article, that seems to be moving the most right now in terms of the demand that you're seeing? I mean, I know, you know, we didn't have an April market. So a lot of probably what you're selling is inline goods in the category. But within that segment, what seems to be moving the quickest piece-wise in terms of desks, I guess?
From our standpoint, a major spike for us has been lift desk. People seem to want more flexibility than ever when it comes to home office, and they want the same piece to be able to function as multiple things. So, trying to figure out how to cross, you know, function different pieces is a big deal to us right now. But lift desk, if you want to know what's actually spiked for us recently, it would be lift desk.
Why do you think that is? You hear a lot about those in the marketplace. Is there anything in particular that you think that makes people want to, I mean, you could sit or stand, obviously.
Well, you know, the trend started with, okay, everyone should stand. And then all of a sudden people hear about, you don't want to stand all the time, right?
Yeah.
You want to sit down part of the day as well. So the only way to accomplish both is really to have that, the means to do so with a lift desk.
And is there some additional functionality that these desks offer in terms of like, I'll let you maybe talk a little bit about that.
The main functionality is you can work at whichever height you choose. So if you're stand up for a while, you can easily go to that height. If you want to sit down for a while, you can go to that height. You can put it at a presentation table height.
Mm-hmm.
You know, upcoming, we've got memory settings that we're going to be adding to. Our lift desk actually allows us to, like a car seat, you know, I want to be the number one driver, number two driver. You could actually hit the button and it'll go to where you're used to working or the settings that you like to work. So
interesting.
That's one of the things we're working on. But there's a lot of different things, different ways you can go with it. And we're just trying to not only respond to what our retailers are hearing, but also what we think is going to happen next.
Sure, sure. John, what are you seeing in terms of pieces that are selling or doing well at Riverside?
Well, we kind of have a dichotomy because, you know, we've always been known as an executive home office supplier, and we look at the market real closely. So our executive home office business continues to spike up, but we've seen a real push for a writing desk, smaller scale desk, like I'm sure a lot of retailers have seen. It's been a big push for us, especially with the e-commerce accounts that we can do some drop ship for them. And, you know, we've also been big into peninsula desks, whether they be L-shaped desks or so, you know, right now we have such a broad assortment of, you know, credences and hutches. But for us, executive office is not waning, it's actually increasing. And I know people today, younger people and with technology, that even though they're working at home, they may not need an executive desk, but I think a lot of younger millennials are looking for nice home office. We've seen a shift from the traditional home office and executive to more cleaner line product, whether it be transitional or we call it refined glam. We don't do real blingy product, but we use what's called the refined glam. And we actually put our product category in five different lifestyles. So In October, we're going to be introducing a lot of refined glam and transitional. Having spoke to a few retailers the last couple months, there seems to be a push for cleaner line home office with cleaner finishes. I know I was speaking to Star Furniture a few weeks ago, and there's a big demand for that right now. It's not as ornate and just cleaner, slicker finishes.
Yeah. So remind us again what these five style categories are within the segment.
Oh, let me see if I get, well, we have cottage, farmhouse is one.
Yeah.
We have refined glam, modern, obviously.
Yeah.
Modern organic, which is reclaimed. And there's one other, what we call, I call it relaxed traditional, but our term at Riverside is refined classics.
Refined classics. Okay.
So it's those five lifestyles. We try to put them in there in each of those categories. And we kind of look at the portfolio and see what's working and what's not.
Yeah. Interesting. Are there particular areas of the country where you're seeing more activity than not? Like, I mean, are you seeing a lot of, you know, we were talking about smaller scale, and I don't know if there's like anything going on like in urban areas. Are you seeing a lot of movement like in the urban settings where there's perhaps a heavier concentration of younger workers perhaps?
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't looked at any of the numbers, but I would assume a lot of that's coming from, you know, millennials and maybe the Northeast who are putting into a small Soho area that they need a small desk. But it's a good question. I really haven't looked at geographically where it's coming from. We have a classification for our home office. We have small home office, executive, a peninsula desk. And right now, totally, the small home office is growing rapidly.
Yeah.
But it's also price sensitive. So I know a lot of people stay out of the category, and we try to do better finishes, and we also try to give a consistent quality story. We have a great QC team in Asia that every one of our products have the same features and benefits. So we don't deviate from product to product. That way the retail sales associate can go confidently to one of our product lines and pitch it with confidence.
Interesting. You know, it's funny. I was talking to another resource. You know, what used to be big years ago was modular, this term modular office. Yeah. But I've heard that a number of companies have kind of gotten out of that because, first off, it was very SKU intensive. Any thoughts on that, either John or Jeremy, on the, where the modular concept has gone?
Where we've brought it out, it's worked. And I don't really find it to be SKU intensive because it's somewhat like you go to upholstery, it's modular. You only have a few SKUs that you can build whatever you want. So
mm-hmm.
I understand necessarily the SKU intensity of it, but the challenge you can have is you need to make sure that it's a finish and a species that can be consistent when you do put them together.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, if you get the wrong finish, it's hard to be consistent with the modular pieces going together. You can have a nightmare pretty quick.
Is that because it's, I mean, there's certain like different factories that might be producing certain items?
Well, there's just different finishes that if you have more steps and, you know, the harder the finish is to do on one piece, the much harder it's going to be to match it with two different pieces that connect together.
Yeah. And you folks, I mean, both companies, I think, do multi-complex finishes.
Correct.
Let's hear from the retailers here. Jeff and Kyle, I'd like to bring you guys into the discussion. You both companies have sold a home office for a long time, many years. And can you tell us, give us a little bit of background, like on how long you've each been in the category? Jeff, maybe we could start with you. How long has Furnitureland South been in the category, and how have you seen it evolve over the years?
Yep, sure. I'm not sure I can answer how long we've been in the home office business, probably as long as we've been in business.
Yeah.
We've had some type of desks available for purchase through our company. But the category is very important to us. Obviously, it's less than 2 years ago, we completely reinvented our home office gallery. It's about 35,000 square feet. And of course, we have great representation there with both Riverside and with Hooker and other brands. Mm-hmm. But that's really what we've tried to do is to show people what is available. So it's a very important category. As a matter of fact, we're looking to add about 4,000 square feet to our offering right now, just because the demand seems to be on the uptick. Mm-hmm. With all the things that have happened in the last 90 days, We continue to hear about people working remotely, working from home. And so obviously this is going to drive that demand way up, you know, for the foreseeable future. But I would also add, Tom, that just less than 2 years ago, we launched a new contract office division for primarily commercial office furniture. And so we have that in our corporate office building. It's a completely supplement business for us. And we have its own sales team and management team as part of that. But it's been interesting over the last few weeks since we've been back allowing consumers on the campus that, you know, we've got a lot of interest from people that are wanting to see the commercial contract division as well as home office. I think you probably heard the term resimercial. That's a big line. That's a big name or the buzzword, I guess, in the contract world. And we're actually starting to see a little bit of the residential clients wanting to introduce contract grade and commercial stuff in their homes. So we're seeing a little bit of crossover between our home office and contract division.
That's interesting. It sounds like your expansion will be well timed then. In order to help accommodate, would that bring you up to about close to 40,000 square feet, roughly?
That's correct.
Wow.
Plus the contract division. We have North Carolina's largest contract showroom at 30,000 square feet. And that's just, like I said, that's just those commercial contract brands that we have represented there.
So that's a separate space entirely from...
Total between, you know, we're approaching 70,000 square feet devoted to the contract and home office.
Wow. That's significant. Kyle, let's hear from you. Home furniture, how do you all, I think when we were talking on the phone a couple of weeks ago, sounded like most of your stores carry the home office category. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, Tom. We just that history part, you know, we started in the waterbed business. And then when we kind of expanded first out of waterbeds, we got into bedroom furniture and case goods first before we got into the upholstery. So we've been selling office furniture since the late 80s, early 90s, pretty consistently. We've never abandoned the category. It's been just a real steady category over the last, you know, 5-6 years. And then as everybody's talking about now and why we have this webinar, it really has exploded in a big way this last couple of months as the stay at home and shelter in place and all these things are happening. You know, you watch the CNBC guys and they talk about commercial office space that's going to be less. You got the Google people giving $1,000 to all their employees to buy home office furniture. Yeah, you know, it's a big opportunity in front of us right now, and we feel like we're in a good spot because we've dedicated. Now we don't have 70,000 square feet to designate like Jeff does, but we do have about anywhere from 18 to 20 sets office desks on our floor in all of our stores. So well represented on a line where I think about 5-6 years ago, a lot of people kind of just got out of the category or felt like just put a little desk here or there and that was it. And we stuck with the core department and we're happy about that.
That was a good decision on your part. It's almost like a little bit forward thinking because I don't think any of us could have predicted that this would have happened.
No.
But it's a good thing that there are stores like yours and others that have devoted some space to the category. There's a question that came in here. And I think this is the double digit increase. Is that due to online web sales? I think that's a question. That's a question for John, I believe. John, do you want to, that's one of the questions that came in. Do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a combination of both. I don't have a breakdown of percentage in front of me, but, you know, obviously people like Wayfair have seen an explosion in the home office business, and we're contributing to that.
Yeah.
Whether it's through their Castlegate warehouse or whether it's a drop ship to their consumer. So, but we've seen a big lift in our brick and mortar sales too. I mean, right now, I haven't been in retail for 20 years now, but a lot of retailers right now are expanding their home office categories and promoting it more heavily. Some are promoting it as strong as mattresses. Yeah. And I think they're starting to set up the right POP in there and the proper accessories to really make it a destination location. So, but I think our e-commerce business has been up during this pandemic, but I don't have a breakdown of what home office is in terms of e-commerce or brick and mortar.
Well, we've certainly heard that, and you know, that e-commerce business has been up with all the companies that we cover. And you know, it's a question I'd like to ask. It seems like there's an opportunity. You know, it's funny how this category really has blossomed on some of the pure play sites like Overstock and Wayfair. I've talked to those guys years ago, and they told me how home office was one of their hottest categories, incidentally, as far as online sales went. Is there a similar opportunity at brick and mortar to kind of, and I'll ask this of our retail guests, to promote the category online or maybe get some boost in business from online presence? Jeff, is that something that you'd like to address?
Yeah, sure. I've actually within the last few weeks, as we have seen this demand, we've kind of built on that momentum. We've sent out several e-blasts. We have it featured on our website we have great solutions for people that are searching for that category. So we're promoting it, and we continue to look for different unique ways to continue to promote that over the next few weeks and months. But certainly, you know, we don't do per se a lot of point click and buy. You know, yeah. We typically use our website, you know, for inspiration, for information, to get the engagement. And then, you know, from that, you know, we're able to pull business through. But we have seen dramatic increases on website visits, engagement on the website, and also with where they're going on the site for this specific category.
Interesting. So it's kind of like getting sort of real-time information from your customers, from your customer base, of what they're looking at, where perhaps what the opportunities are in the category from in terms of pieces that would sell or are selling.
Right.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah, Kyle, I'd like to you. Have you seen some similar activity online?
Yeah, I can echo pretty much what Jeff has said. You know, we're a brick and mortar first retailer. We use our website to drive people in, let them see what we have, pre-shop us. And we put a lot of effort in our website the last few years. It's really made a big difference during this pandemic time. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, just looking at my numbers here, you know, our office business on our online call center is up over 300% year to date.
Wow.
So, definitely seeing a lot of action in the call center or our web sales team on that type of product. Digging into the numbers when Jeff was talking there, you know, there is, you know, definitely desks and stuff, but we see a lot of office chairs. Looks like I see a lot of office chairs and like add-on pieces. Some of the vendors we carry, just like some file cabinets, some small bookcases and stuff, guys who specialize in that. That business has been big on our online site too. As people look to maybe, you know, all of a sudden the kids are doing schoolwork at home and we need some place to put their books now and file stuff away. So it's not a big mess out in the living room area. I think that's why, the Riverside and Hooker guys are saying they're seeing a lot of writing desks and smaller desks being popular. I think with the stay at home, sure, we all think about, you know, us adults being stuck at home working, but all of our children are working from home. All of them are and our students in college, and they never were really equipped for that, because I know when I'm getting a little older now. In fact, it's my 35th birthday this week. When I was in college, you know, if I had to study, you go to the library, you might run into your friends and stuff. You can't do any of that now. So it's forcing students to work from their dorms and from home, their apartments, back to their parents' homes, which was never expected. And I think that's where we're seeing this huge increase in business this way. in the laptop desks, the writing desks, the floating desks for the living rooms. The power desks have been very popular for us. People love to sit stand. We saw them trending before the pandemic. Obviously, the health kicked the whole thing, being able to stand, not just sit while you work, get good blood circulation. And that just has continued to soar during this time.
Interesting. Jeff, have you seen any particular pieces that are doing well in the category, or is it all over the map? I mean, what would you say would be the hottest, some of the hottest items at Furnitureland South right now in home office?
Well, I would just have to echo what Kyle said. I mean, it's, you know, we're not reinventing the space. So there's no, I wish I could tell you there's these great new products that are booming, but it's the things that people need. It's desks and chairs. And I would say certainly the sit stand desks, those lift desks are very popular right now. Certainly ergonomic chairs. But I would say, John and Jeremy, whoever can develop one of these soundproof rooms for these kids to be able to study and not bother the parents that are there working, that might be something you want to get to market pretty soon.
Uh-oh, we're going to patent that. I would add one thing to Kyle's comment is, you know, I think a lot of people right now are kind of in a self-reflecting mode but after COVID-19, and a lot of college kids, not all of them, but some of them are looking at, do I really need to go on campus? Some want that campus life and the dorm life. But other college kids are saying, you know, I can be educated working from my home or my apartment and don't have to go into a class and drive in every day. Now, not all young kids are going to want to do that, but I think a lot of young people today are reevaluating the money they're spending going on campus. And I just think it's going to continue to escalate as time goes on.
That's an interesting point. Certainly, John, you know, I think we're hearing some more students choosing to save money. You know, the student loan thing has kind of gotten a little bit out of control. So this is definitely a way for them to save money, but not only save money, but invest it in some good furniture. You know, and it seems like what we're hearing from this discussion is that the needs, it's multi-generational. You know, you could have a middle schooler at home, or a high schooler, or a college student, or a young professional, a young junior executive, a senior executive, somebody who's retired, you know, doing work. So it seems like from a merchandising standpoint, the door is open for huge opportunities. Anybody want to take a stab on where they kind of see this going from a product development standpoint? I'll let anybody kind of jump into that.
Well, I know Jeremy mentioned modulars before, and we are seeing a push. We don't have a lot of modulars right now. We have peninsula desks and L-shaped desks, but, you know, I know some retailers are looking for more customization, and we're not going to develop 40 SKU collections to home office because we have to balance our needs and the market's needs with the factories. And the factories right now with workforce shortages are looking to create efficiencies on their line and make sure product is running through the line efficiently. But there, I think, as Jeremy said, there's a way of modular pieces with not a lot of SKUs. It could be SKUs that are adaptable and you can change the configuration without getting to a point where you have too many SKUs. So that's the biggest push we're seeing right now. And we're looking at it hard. You know, luckily, we're aligned with some good factories in Vietnam that like to do the home office category. But it is a bit more labor intensive and a little bit slower running down the line. So we're looking at the modular very closely right now to see if we can expand that and still control the number of SKUs. Because you also run into MOQ issues, which are minimum order quantities. And we, you know, obviously with more SKUs, there's factories want to have a certain number of MOQs to make it run official.
Oh, Jeremy, I think Jeremy is muted right now. We need to unmute Jeremy.
No, the modular, we're actually bringing out a modular home office for October.
Yeah.
Among six other home offices in the executive category. So we're very excited about it. It's actually called House Blend, which The reason, I'll just candidly tell you, the reason I knew quite a bit about a mistake you can make with finish is we did it. So we had one that didn't match well, and we made those mistakes on another one. And but it was placed and sold very well. We just couldn't get the consistency to finish. So we ended up recreating it, we feel, in the right way, and we're bringing it out for October.
Well, that was something, wasn't it? Nothing like getting the inside story from the experts. Speaking of experts, nobody knows more about comfort, quality, and value than Klausner, the leading solutions provider to the home furnishings industry, and where you'll find my latest furniture collection, City Limits. Now let's get back to more industry news from Bill McLaughlin and On the Record.
John, you mentioned a point earlier, and I think what you just said, Jeremy, also touches on this. Is it difficult to get factories overseas to want to do this category? We've kind of heard through the grapevine that they're, you know, it is a little more skew or labor intensive, and it's not as easy to run as a line of dressers, perhaps, or nightstands, or even panel beds. I mean, well, how difficult is it to source this product?
You know, from our standpoint, you need to be important to a factory for what their core competencies are.
Sure.
So as long as you're in line with those, and also, by the way, we want you to be a big factor for our home office category. It's very different than going to a factory and saying, we just want to do home office with you.
John, you want to take a stab at that too?
Yeah, I kind of echo that. We are in the whole home business, so we're in the bedroom and dining room and occasional and entertainment business too. So when we're able to give the factory a entire collection and then also have the home office as part of that, they have a much bigger appetite to it. And as Jeremy said, we try to be important to our key factories there and develop alliances with them. But if you try to give a factory just home office, most of them, to be honest with you, really don't want to take it on. They want to have other parts of the whole home collection.
Mm. Makes sense. We're getting some questions in here, some good ones. Here's one from Andy Counts. Thank you, Andy, for your participation of AHFA. Do you think homes will have a dedicated office space, or will the furniture need to be multifunctional? I'd like anybody to kind of weigh in here. Suppliers or retailers alike, feel free. So we think there'll be a dedicated home office space, or will it be developed for rooms that other rooms where it needs to be multifunctional? Anybody want to try?
I'll dive into that. I would think that not many people are having a lot of guests come over right now, spend the night. With all these stay-at-home orders. So yeah. I don't think people are going to run out and add on to their home, but they certainly may be willing to convert one of the third or fourth bedrooms in their home to a home office. But, you know, if it's like in my house, you know, people are, our kids, they've studied, you know, on the kitchen table, you know, outside on the outdoor furniture. They're doing it from the sofa or, you know, the bar stool. So, I think there's probably a combination of all that. You know, we continue to see, you know, with all the technology that's out there where you have wireless this, wireless that, you know, getting rid of the clutter, you don't have to have all that storage that you used to have and hide the wires and all that. So people are using laptops more and more, wireless printers and all that stuff. So I think it'd be a combination of conversions of third or fourth bedrooms and just kind of, yes, using all kinds of space throughout the house.
Excellent. Yeah, good point. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. I think you're going to see a variety of things. If you're a guy that works in financial sector, and part of your job now is relocated out of your high rise, you're an attorney, and now you need a dedicated workspace away from your family. I think you're almost going to be forced to set up a home office dedicated in a room. where you probably will get the full collection, want the credenzas, the bookcases, the lateral file cabinets, and those sort of things. But if you're just looking at somebody who is not going to be, you know, the adult isn't going to be the core thing, and it's more for the students and that stuff, I would think that maybe a writing desk or something smaller in a community area so that parents can watch the kids and assist them with the homework. I know a lot of my friends who have kids that needed homework help, you know, they encourage them to do it in a community space in the house. And that's where, like Jeff said, you know, you have laptops, you have wireless printers, you have wireless routers, everything's wireless now. And you only need a small space to deal with that, big enough to open the book up or open the laptop up and do that work. So I think both are going to happen. Our executive office sales have been pretty steady during this time, growing some, but not haven't jumped big. And it's our casual stuff, our smaller items that has just went big time during this. I think, you know, again, people having that immediate need just instantly just went from not needing a desk to need one now.
I was going to say some of this discussion for kind of the dining category too, but here's a question that's of interest. Is you all see any convergence between dining and home office? I mean, I've been pretty much stationed in my working at home in my formal dining room here, which has gotten the most use it has ever gotten in 13 years we've lived here. But Kyle, you mentioned the kitchen, you know, the kitchen table where kids might work or do some common areas. What are the convergence opportunities between, you know, office and dining? I don't know if there's any thoughts on that, because I think everybody here either sells or produces the dining category as well. Anybody want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. Right now we're looking at, you know, and we were a little slow to get into the category, but workstations that have bar stools that go underneath them that can bridge the area between a great room and maybe a kitchen. So we've developed for eight, although there wasn't an April market, we had about six new workstations that were going to be anywhere from 58 to 66 inches wide that would take 2 to 3 bar stools. So we see that as kind of a hybrid between the dining and the home office category. So mm-hmm. although we classify that as dining, it really could be a home office piece.
Interesting.
There are some creative pieces like sofa back consoles that fit nicely, like a sofa table would fit, but they have some unique, you know, functionality that people can use and actually work at them. But it, you know, in normal other times, it doesn't look like a desk. So
yeah,
there's just some unique pieces and creative pieces that have multifunction in the house, which I think are becoming more and more important.
And one of the categories that Hooker Furniture has developed is the friendship table. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it seemed, as I'm thinking about it here, it's a little higher elevated. What are they, 36 inches or roughly?
Yeah.
So you could kind of almost, you could sit at that with a bar stool and have a laptop there, or you could kind of stand at it and work, I guess, if you wanted to, depending on right. how.
Actually, all of our friendship tables have an optional height feature as well.
Oh, they do. Okay.
They take it up to more the counter height, or you could have it more regular height. So those have done very well for us. And they, to your point, they somewhat cross over into the other category if someone needs it to do so.
It's interesting because in addition to working at home, I don't want to muddy the waters too much, but people are certainly dining at home more too. We've all talked on that discussion as well. But here's, we're continuing to get some more questions from the audience, and I'd like to address some more of these and welcome more as we go forward. So as you're listening here and have a question you want to ask our panelists, please type it in, and we'll try to get to as many of these as possible. Here's one from Melinda Lehman. Do you think that it's more important than ever that the home office desk and other pieces coordinate with other furniture in the home, whether it's living room, bedroom, or dining room? That's a very interesting question. So we're asking about, do these home office pieces need to coordinate with other categories?
So from our standpoint, we have pretty much two different wheelhouses of development that we focus on. One would be through our main collections that we introduce, which in that case, Melinda, you're out there, would actually match, you know, the collection would actually match, and the home office would go off the same finish as the bedroom, the dining room, the occasional. We have another wheelhouse that's sole purpose is to develop a home office program that is separate from anything else we do, which really tries to address more of the functionality, more of the things that we're seeing trend-wise, and candidly, more of a price point that we don't do in our collections. Mm-hmm. So it's somewhat of a different strategy involved for one part of our home office versus the other. But hope that answered Melinda's question.
Yeah, very good. John, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, first hi, Melinda. Yeah, kind of like what Jeremy said, we try to curate our home office with our whole home collections. If we do a bedroom and dining room, it's really not whole home. But what we're trying to do is what she is doing in her home today, curating the pieces that it doesn't have to be matchy-matchy, but it will work together in the same environment. So, for instance, if we bring out a standalone home office category, we'll try to curate it in with our room in the showroom that it works with the bedroom or dining room. But we also have, like Jeremy said, we do have whole home collections where we do bedroom, dining room, home office, and occasional. But today, I think the consumer, which is female, is really looking more to curate. They don't want matchy matchy. They want to be able to kind of customize things on that. So we're seeing more of a trend towards curation.
I'd like to ask our retailers, would you agree that the curated method seems to be curation versus part of a matching collection is more of the demand right now, or is it all over the map?
Sure. I think eclectic continues to be a big word. You know, it's not that they're after the matchy-matchy. The curated word you're using is certainly apt here, but I would say whatever these guys can design and build and create, you know, we'll put it on the showroom and we can retail it. But I think eclectic is really what most of the people are looking for, rather than, yes, this is the exact same finish as my dining room or other pieces in the home. I think they're looking for something that has the wow factor, if you will. And, you know, more than ever, people are online looking for inspiration. And so they bring these things that they're finding on Pinterest or House, or, you know, they're building these lookbooks from our website. And so they just bring these pictures to our design consultants and say, hey, this is the look that I'm after. What do you suggest? And they don't have that skill set to execute it. That's where these specialists of these design consultants come in, where they can, you know, they can really find, you know, it's not a question here at Furniture Land of do we have it? It's just, where is it?
Yeah. Sure. Kyle, what do you think?
I totally agree with these guys. You know, we carry, for example, we carry the Rachel Ray whole home stuff from Legacy, and it does very well for us. But I don't see the customers come in buying the bedroom, the dining, everything matchy-matchy. Mm-hmm. They come in, oh, they love the finish, they love the group, they buy the bedroom, that's it. They're not looking at, oh, I got to buy the whole thing now. So I think what's going to be best is something that flows with the product nicely. So having the popular finishes, I mean, our number one selling finish with desks is white. So it can go with, you know, any white bedroom, white dinings, and can go in the home and function in easily. And I think that's where the business is going to be, because people aren't going to look at, oh, I need to replace my dining room to get an office now. You know, I don't think they're going to go that way. Especially if they're watching their money, if we're going to have a recession or if we're going to have a long-standing recession, I think they'll buy the pieces that coordinate the best, that look nice in the area. But eclectic, you know, as Jeff said, the House and all those places, Pinterest, they've talked to the customer. And so have we when they come in, that you don't need everything. You don't need, or nor do you want everything to match perfectly. So yeah. I'd say coordination is going to be the winner.
And white, it's not only a very feminine, you know, tone, but it also has broad appeal in terms of it's relaxed. It could go coastal. It can kind of go cottage, and it does. It's not, you can't really mess up too much with a white, it seems like. But interesting. Here's another question. Besides, this is from Bill Becker. Bill, thank you for your question. Besides lift desks, what other functions must you have in home office? Phone charger, USB, electric outlets. Any thoughts on what you folks have seen on the retail floor, and then what's being offered out there? Kyle, what are you seeing in terms of functionality? Is there anything people tend
to? You're starting to see some people doing more functionality to the office stuff. You know, we're kind of a slow industry sometimes of adapting technology into our products. And I think just like you see with the power recliners and stuff now that they have the USB ports and stuff, I mean, isn't that just make sense? I mean, what student's not going to have their cell phone with them or their iPad? And you got to get the juice. Everybody's always running low in battery. You see everybody running around with the battery chargers with their phone because they don't last for a whole day anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we've seen that. We're seeing, I think it was John mentioned or Jeremy mentioned, adding more to the product with the memory functions for the sit-stand desk, just more of that type of stuff. We're getting into some of the gaming desks a little bit. The gamers are people that are home office buyers, of course, and they love the function. You know, they got to plug all their stuff in, their mouse, everything has to be plugged in. And we're seeing that type of stuff. A holder for your headphones, right? Was it Jeff or somebody that said, oh, you got a soundproof room now? No, headphones. The gamers and the kids like to wear their headphones. Well, where do they put the headphones? You slap them up there. No, they're $300 Beats phones. So you got to go on a little charging stand or something like that. So I definitely think putting more of that stuff in. And those things are so inexpensive. The guys that do the product design can tell you how cheap it is to put a dual USB port in. It costs a few dollars, but the customer, they go, ooh, wow, yeah, I need this. You know, so more of those little things in the furniture helps get our customer to buy those things. And it makes it easier for the RSA on the floor to sell it because there's more features and benefits that for the customer.
Jeff, are you seeing anything in terms of demand for functionality that you'd like to note?
Yeah, I don't think I can add. That was great, Kyle. I mean, that was you nailed it. And I think the brands, the manufacturers that are bringing these bells and whistles to the market, they're going to be the winners. I mean, that's what people need. That's what they're looking for. And a lot of times it is some of these inexpensive features that, you know, pushes them over the line to say, I'd rather have this product that has that than the one that doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question. Do you all think that this category will continue to grow, or will some of the, will it slow down to pre-pandemic sales levels once this COVID-19 thing gets a little more under control? I mean, are these, in other words, I think what this person is asking, it's an anonymous question, is will the luster kind of wear off, or are these going to be long formed habits for people to want to work at home? And I guess what would you all do to kind of address that? Anybody want to take a stand?
Yeah, there are companies that have changed their entire strategy as far as where people work. So, and these are major companies that have decided that they're going to keep people at home even post COVID. I only see the trend continuing, if not getting greater than it is now. And I think the home office category is healthy now, and it's going to become even healthier in the next 2 to 3 years with all the changes companies are making.
I just read a study, I don't remember who it's from, but that by the end of 2021 there'll be somewhere between 30 and 35 people working multiple days a week out of their home. And I think a lot of that has to do with, I think, first of all, cultures are changing in companies where they're trusting their people more. They don't have to be micromanaging them every minute of the day. And I think that trend is just going to continue to build. And I think with technology getting better, I mean, look at what we're on today, the platform we're on. People are going to be able to work from home. They're not going to probably work 5 days a week from home. But I think that number of 30 to 35% by the end of 2021 is probably pretty close.
Sounds like there could be some more competition in the category moving forward as people kind of get wind of this.
No, other people don't want to get into the category.
They don't, well, that's
leave it to Hooker and Riverside.
Let's see here. I'm just going through some of these questions. Somebody asked about Bluetooth in the desks. I think that's another one from Bill Becker. I think that goes in line with some of the technology that we're looking at. I mean, Bluetooth, I kind of associate a lot with like music or kind of just things that people could listen to while they're work. Any thoughts on Bluetooth?
I would say personally for Bluetooth, you know, you have two things to look at that. You know, if you're yelling at your kids and you're yelling at everybody, if it's in the public space, do you want a Bluetooth running? Is it loud? You know, do people use the iPad AirPods and that type of stuff? I would say that. And also the Bluetooth of the different functionalities, such as like the USB, you know, that's a little bit more expensive. And then is what we found with one people who are putting in like the motion furniture and some of that type of stuff. You know, somebody, maybe they really want the Bluetooth, but then the quality is not good enough for them. Now they look at it as a negative, like, oh, now I'm paying for it, but I'm not using it. I'm not real high on the Bluetooth in the furniture as much. I think, you know, it's okay. I don't think it's going to kill you, but I think it's less important than keeping it clean. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Thank you.
We think things like updated phone chargers, to Kyle's point, and for example, LED lighting is a really great feature that we've worked on. We think
the gamers love that.
Yeah, are more visible and more usable and more attractive to the consumer. And to Kyle's point, less likely to be questioned for, is that good enough or is it different from the technology that they have in Bluetooth now, which is, I think, is a really valid point.
And the other thing that you have with that is if it doesn't pair well with people's phones and some of that, it becomes a negative. So
right.
Is this a category that you can kind of target market for, like target to a specific audience that you want to either get in the store or just, you know, drive interest in the category? I mean, how do you approach the marketing of this? Is that something that can be accomplished like other categories, perhaps?
I think if you go at it trying to be a solution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think of the consumer first. How are we going to be a solution to the consumer and market yourself that way? You know, our program's called Workway, and it's designed to provide as many options as we see possible as the consumer's going to want from our furniture. So I think if you start with the consumer in mind and then, you know, figure out how you want to market to that, you're going to win at the end of that.
Great. Yeah, that's a good point. I'd like to maybe finish up here. We've answered some of the questions from the participants. It's a question I like to ask of the retailers. Is there anything that your suppliers, whether it's Hooker or Riverside or anybody else in the category, can do to kind of make this an easier sell or just help continue to drive business? I don't think anybody would like to see it necessarily drop off. I think we're onto something here in the home office category, not only home office, but crossover pieces that we talked about as well in dining. What would you like to see your partners, your suppliers kind of bring to the table? Jeff, if you'd like to start off.
Sure.
That question.
Sure. And I love a softball like that. I appreciate that, Tom. This is my chance to tell Jeremy and John what we want.
Yes.
But, you know, these are great partners. And you know, to be, you know, in our portfolio of vendors here, you have to do a lot of things very well. And I'm sure Kyle's in the same vein there. But it's pretty simple. I like to keep it, you know, we're a merchant. Right. There's a lot of things that we can buy and put in our store and sell. And we tend to find these brands, these vendors that build wonderfully styled quality furniture at a at a value in the marketplace. It doesn't have to be the lowest in the marketplace, but it needs to be a relative value for what that quality level is. And so important right now is being able to deliver it on time. You know, we're most of our business is special order. And so what does that mean for us? That means we don't have this desk on our display with 50 of them in a warehouse, right? So we count on the inventory that these brands are keeping up with. And if they're going to have continue to have this product made overseas in Vietnam or wherever, you know, it's got to be domestically warehoused so that, you know, you hear the demand. So our salespeople, 150 plus strong, they're going to find the products from the brands that are committing that to the inventory so that we can satisfy that client within a very, very reasonable time frame.
Excellent. Yeah, I agree with Jeff. You know, the big thing, and we've been extremely fortunate here at Home Furniture that our business has been very strong since we reopened. And we have all of our stores open now. And, you know, we couldn't be happy with that. Now, the next big challenge we're having is the inventory and the stock. You know, I have more product on order now than I ever thought I would. And I am just on the phone every day with our suppliers, our key suppliers, going, you got to make it faster. You got to get it going because business is rolling right now. And unfortunately, you know, when we got closed down abruptly, you know, we had to cancel orders. Just like everybody out there, push out orders. And I know that put a lot of stress on the entire supply chain, but getting it back in, having it in stock, like Jeff said, if someone all of a sudden gets back to school, it's back to school time, and now we need to get furniture, need a desk, you know, the mom and the students, they're not going to wait for 2 months for their desk. They got a real need today. And, you know, I preach this to a lot of our new hires at our company, our sales staff. I meet with all of them and I tell them, I go, you know, we live in Amazon world now. I want it in 2 days at my house delivered for free. Isn't that everybody's expectation for everything you buy now? Yeah. I want it at my house for free in 2 days. And you tell people, oh, that's going to be, we're out 5 days on delivery, or we're, oh, that's out of stock for a month. And they look at you like you got to be joking. And they just don't understand our business. But, you know, we got to understand their psychological mind frame that they're in now with Amazon Prime and everything. And that's what I think is going to be a big push with this category going forward as people realize they have this need all of a sudden. Hey, one's if you're on furlough still. One's if you are between jobs and you get your new job and you start your new job and they go, you need to work from home, by the way. Oh, my God, I start working 2 weeks, 10 days. I have to have a home office at home. Well, they got to go buy it. They don't have time to wait months and months for inventory to come in, Vietnam to ship stuff, wait for tech to get over, wait for Chinese New Year to get over. That's just not going to fly with the consumer. They're going to move right on to the next person, whether it's an Office Max, an Office Depot, Amazon, Wayfair, anybody that can get into delivery. So stock is big, fast turnover, good looks at great value that people can pull the trigger on. That's going to be what's going to win. And like you guys said, I don't think this trend is a temporary trend. I think you're going to see for the next couple of years, it could be very, very strong for our industry.
Excellent. That's some excellent thoughts there. Good advice and very timely thoughts as well. I think we're just about out of time here, but I'd like to thank all our participants, all our attendees, John Isiello with Riverside Furniture, Jeremy Hoff, Hooker Furniture, Jeff Harris, Furnitureland South, and Kyle Johansson of Home Furniture. I'd like to thank you all again for taking part in this really timely discussion. Your thoughts have been great, and we've really enjoyed having you on the program. And we wish all you folks the best success going forward in this, not only in this category, but every category.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks,
all right. Thanks again, everybody. And
thanks for having me.
Soon.
Here.
All right.
Kyle, happy birthday.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kyle.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.